CliffCentral.com.
Oh, wow. Welcome to it. It is the weekly mashup. And my name is Dimisha Masha. I hope you guys are feeling fantastic on this particular Thursday morning, I suppose. And I'm not alone. As always, I've got my lovely green-haired co-host today.
It's green and blue. But yes, hello, guys. It's Candace Mama in the building. Oh, man, that song, I love it.
So tell me about that song, because we played that song for a reason.
Yes, we did.
Who's the artist and what's the name of the song?
Okay, so the artist is Oshri, mm-hmm. and it's called Crazy But Free. So I don't know if many of the listeners know about the Trace music search.
Okay.
But
let's start with a bit of context. Yesterday, he was all over your Instagram.
Yes.
If you noticed that Candace had a man on her Instagram and on her Twitter and on her Facebook. Yes. Are you guys together? What's happening?
No, T.
Dating a musician now?
I would never do that to myself.
Okay.
As cute as he was.
Yeah.
So basically, I met Oshri yesterday, and he is the winner of the Trace Music Search.
Okay.
So I don't know if the listeners are familiar with it, but a while back, you know, people from all over Africa had to submit, you know, their music to Trace, and people could vote.
Yeah.
So he ended up being the winner of the show. He went to New York now, and he's living. No, he's from Brazil. So then he went to New York.
He's from Brazil.
Yeah, so South America, okay. Africa, everywhere where Trace is playing.
So basically, he's a Brazilian guy who won this competition.
Yes.
All right.
So he went to New York and he got signed with Akon's label, and now he's working with Akon. He's working with the guy who wrote Say Something. So he's really doing great stuff.
Okay.
But
and
yeah.
You got to meet him. He's a nice guy. Sweet
oh,
guy.
He's hot.
Okay. So did you exchange? Numbers.
Well, we exchange.
Are you gonna keep in touch? He's a bit short for you, though, eh? I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be honest.
You know what?
And your kids will have that good hair.
They'll have great hair. He's a bit young for me. I won't lie.
Really?
I think that's the only deterrent.
Are you guys about the same age?
He's 2 years younger than me.
Oh, yeah. That's a problem.
It is a problem. Especially for a woman.
No, we develop slower. So you really need a man who's like 40.
No. Hint. No.
I got some friends who are 40.
No, thanks. We've seen how you're trying to set me up works, and it never goes well.
Okay.
So, back to Oshri.
Yeah, back to Oshri.
Yes, so anyway, no, he's very cute. He's very talented. He's an incredibly nice human, though. So we hit it off immediately because I'm an incredibly nice human.
Of course you are. Yes, wonderful. Oh, wow.
So we hit it off, but we had this amazing conversation. So as I was speaking to him, there's one thing that he said that really stuck out in my mind. And I said, you know, you've won this thing. You're meeting incredible people. You've been to the Grammys. You know, you're working with Akon. It's like a legend for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so what is one piece of advice you'd give anyone?
Yeah.
Like, you know, anyone who asks you. And he says, I would tell them to just act. Stop being so afraid. Because even if you act and you lose, you've lost nothing. But if you act and you win, you become the person you've always wanted to become.
Oh, that's dope.
And
man.
I was like,
that's like great advice.
Damn. I was like, isn't that so true? Fear is the one thing that keeps us from our destiny in a lot of cases.
Okay.
Because we don't act because we're like, oh, what are people going to say? They're going to laugh at me. They're going to judge me. But people are judging you anyway.
Do you think it's also like an inherent laziness sometimes that you make up excuses because you actually it's easier to just say people are going to judge me than to get out of bed and act. Yesterday, I was working on a new business that I've become involved in. And it's like I ended up on the wrong side of Pretoria to go and just send these forms in. Then I had to drive to the other side of Pretoria and blah, blah. But, you know, once I started acting, it doesn't matter that I got lost. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The point is, once I actually just did it, it was so much less daunting than thinking about it and talking about I'm going to do this.
Yes.
And that's what I found with a lot of things. Until you start acting, it feels like what you're about to do is so massive and it cannot be done. But when you start acting, things just kind of start falling into place.
Yeah. I think there is a combination of that. I think there's a sense of laziness for a lot of people because as long as you can think it and you don't have to act on it, then you don't get rejected.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's all in your head. So
and you also don't feel like a failure because you didn't say anything.
As long as it's in your head, you're like, oh, if people could see it, it would be so amazing.
Yeah,
so you keep, you know, that's your dream that you keep alive for yourself.
Okay.
But I think there's also this sense of huge fear that cripples people. That, like, I remember there
fear
was...
Fear is a terrible thing.
Right? And I remember before my first stage talk, I was so scared. I was backstage and, you know, they're giving me this incredible intro. And firstly, I'm saying, is that me?
Yeah.
That ain't me. Because you know they give you the best bio ever. I was even like, I want to see that chick.
Like,
I want to meet her.
Yeah, okay.
And then I was sitting backstage, and I swear to you, like, I sat down and I was so afraid. And in my head, I was like, I don't have to do this. I can literally leave right now. Yeah. And in my head, I was like, obviously, I can't leave right now. They paid me. So I walked out onto stage, and I swear, as soon as I did it, and at the end of the talk, when I got a standing ovation, the only thing that went through my mind is I won. Like, I won, you know. Yeah. I didn't let fear keep me back and hold me back.
And what was your first talk about, actually? That's really interesting.
You know, so the first talk was about forgiveness. So it was about, you know, sharing my own personal story of forgiveness, of forgiving Eugene, how it came about, why it came about. And then the second part of the talk was making it more relatable, because sometimes when I share my story, people say, you are superhuman. You are different from the rest of us who couldn't
do
that.
She's just like the rest of us, guys. There are days when I'm late, and she struggles to forgive me.
Oh, shush. So I have to bring it back down to, you know, the basics of everyday forgiveness. We have to forgive our parents. We have to forgive guys who have broken our hearts, women who have broken our hearts.
Mm. The guy who cut you off in traffic and then pulled the zap sign.
Yes. You have to forgive him, because, you know, it's just walking around with resentment doesn't yield any good fruits.
I think that's a topic that we can never exhaust. And we've spoken about it briefly, but I just wanted to get into something based on that.
Yes.
Last night, I read a piece of scripture, and it said, you know, guard your heart, because out of it flow all the issues of life. And I was like, that sounds like great advice, but... There's always a but.
There's always a but.
But how do you guard your heart? What do you mean, guard your heart? What do you do? Because, I mean, at the same time, we know that if you build a wall around yourself and you don't let people in, it's actually the opposite of guarding your heart. And it's also very bad for you, right? Because you still got to have a soft heart, and you got to be able to let people in and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, someone needs to explain to me what guarding your heart is really all about. Mm. So... I try to do some more research. And what I found is quite similar to what you're saying.
Yes.
Basically, don't let your heart be hardened by the disappointments, the circumstances, the people who come in and out of your life who hurt you.
Yes.
Because once you do that, what usually happens is then you're a changed person.
Yes. So and not once, for the better.
Yeah, not for the better. Because now the way you see life is from a very cynical point of view. So now you're someone with anger issues because you're quickly angered because you remember, every time I forgive them, they do something even worse to me.
Yes.
Or, you know, when I get into a new relationship, I remember that, you know, the last person that I was with did A, B, C, and D. So this time, I'm not going to give as much as I gave last time, just in case they take advantage of me.
And sometimes it's not about the same human being, right? So it's not because sometimes you have to cut off certain people because they don't bring out the best.
Sometimes you have to, so that you can actually guard your
heart. So you can, exactly. Mm. But then there's situations whereby I remember growing up, and I love my grandmother to but bless her, and she threatened if I speak about her again on air, she might beat my ass. But here I go.
Okay. And she might.
She might.
No, she's serious about that. She doesn't just. That's not a threat. That's a promise.
So she, I remember growing up, and she'd always tell me friends are bad. She's like, you know, don't trust people because friends are awful. They'll betray you and whatever. Mm. And I get it. Based on her life, all her friends ended up betraying her. But then I also see how much she's missing out on from human interaction and trusting people. Mm. Because, I mean, the most exhilarating experiences are shared. You know, sometimes even when you do something alone, man, who are you going to celebrate with?
I know.
You're like,
that's crazy.
I used to travel alone
a lot, you know, when I did Top Billing especially. And it was great. I mean, you get to see the world and you have these experiences, but if there's no one there to share it with, it kind of just minimizes that experience a little bit.
It's not as joyful and tasteful, you know, you're like, oh.
And also I realized one thing. There is the system of the world, and then there's God's way of doing things. And usually those two things are different.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. In Hollywood, we're taught that you must look for Mr. or Mrs. Right.
Yes, yes.
Right? So you spend your whole life looking for the one person
that's going to complete you. Jerry Maguire.
Right, exactly. Mm. You complete me. Like, why are you not completing yourself?
Yes.
And then, one day... we realize after having dated, married.
Some people marry more than once.
Yes, yes. It's okay.
Yeah. No one in studio.
No, nobody's, we're not talking about anyone specific. But yeah. Once you do that, and you know, you realize that actually it's not about finding Mr. or Mrs. Right. It's about being Mr. or Mrs. Right. Thank you. That's
yeah, I had to give you a standing applause. Yeah. It's not even a standing ovation.
That's my journey for 2017. That's what I realized I have to be. You know, because I find that the way to also harden your heart and not to guard your heart is to also always find yourself if you're in a bad situation. And people get you in a bad situation.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes people leave you high and dry.
Mm-hmm.
You are expecting them to help you with this or to do this for you.
They're
your partner.
You.
They left you with nothing. They're your business partner. They cheated you out of a deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're talking about forgiveness. And once you've forgiven, the thing that you do is you realize that I still have to do this myself.
Yes.
Whatever is going to change and whatever is going to be improved, I have to do for myself.
Because they're not going to come back and fix it.
No. Because I realized for years, I was so busy blaming someone else that I allowed myself to spiral out of control in so many other areas of my life.
Yeah.
So financially, I was like spending badly because it was like, yeah, it's my money and I'm going to do this on the side, you know, to make myself feel better. And it's usually you start getting into negative experiences which cost you money, which cost you your health, which cost you your time, and then you got to start all over again. But it's cool, you know, we can all start. You don't just get two chances in life, you get
multiple.
Second, a third, a fourth, a fifth chance in life
if you're willing to take them and if you're willing to see them, because I feel like sometimes we are presented with so many opportunities, but because so and so hurt me or because this one did me in, all you have to do from those experiences is you learn from them. You're not as naive going into the next one, but you don't shun the next opportunities that come your way. It's like people who say, I'll never love again. Boop, there's a whole lifetime ahead of you. I'm not dying alone. I will keep loving until I find
trying.
The one
I'm
we are the same like that. Like, I will be 90 and still trying. All 25 didn't work, I don't care. Number 26 will.
Yeah, I'll prove you guys wrong. But that's the thing, right? And sometimes family and friends will give you the worst advice. Like, you know,
out of
my
a
mom,
place of love.
And she loves me so much. Yeah. Was saying, you know, maybe you just not get married again. And I suppose that comes from her seeing my hurt.
Yes.
You know.
And they want to protect your heart.
Exactly. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, for me, I'm not that kind of guy.
Yeah.
I really, trust me, ladies, I'm terrible as a single man. You don't want me like that. You want me in a relationship. You don't want to be my 100th girlfriend for 2018. You know what I mean?
But actually,
that can
talking
happen.
About relationships too, you were still speaking about an article you came across.
Oh, yeah. I came
about
across
investing.
This awesome
Okay, so you
article.
Said something about investing in your relationships like you would in a business or in a bank account?
You know what it is, right?
Yes.
I came across this amazing article that said that you should imagine your relationship as though it were a bank account.
Okay.
Okay. And here's the first part that I want to start with.
Okay, please.
Bank accounts,
yes.
like life,
yeah.
will sometimes... You'll be rolling.
Yes.
Everything will be flowing.
Life is good.
Life is good.
Debit orders don't
You're getting
affect
the
you.
Gigs coming through.
Yeah.
Debit orders is like, oh, some money went out. But
yeah,
it's fine.
No,
I just got some money in.
I'm still eating at Jamelli's.
You know what I'm saying?
Good.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed you mentioned some very fancy restaurants that I haven't eaten at in a while.
I'm shouting out some friends. I hope they notice.
I hope they notice that next time we come through, we're not paying. You know, that sort of thing. And then sometimes for no reason of your own doing, because you know we like to be like, but what did you do wrong?
Yes, yes.
Maybe you didn't plan properly. Maybe you didn't save enough, and we like to do that to each other, right?
Yes.
Or maybe
you should have thought better.
You should have thought that this money wasn't going to last forever.
Yeah.
So you should have actually made sure that just in case you ran out of cash, you had another secret stash somewhere.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And life doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you're just in the red because you've got too many debit orders going off, and you know what?
Maybe contracts that were supposed to come through just didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
And you find yourself in the red.
Yes.
And that happens in life. So what do you do about that? You do the same things that you would do about your bank account.
Okay.
So what they're saying is, for every one negative experience, make sure that you always have 5 positive experiences in your relationship.
Okay. So for every one negative experience within your relationship with your partner, you need to have 5 balancing.
You need to have 5 times more positive interactions.
Okay, so that's how you judge if this is a worthy transaction and relationship.
Exactly.
Okay, so if... Okay, so we're not talking about extreme situations.
Yeah, no, not extreme situations. But to put it in context, where I was starting off with that analogy is that in life, in relationships, in a bank account, there will be times when Shit happens. It's nobody's fault.
Yes.
It just happens. We make mistakes. And the thing is, first and foremost, once you understand that, then immediately it puts your relationship and your ability to handle whatever comes across your way in a relationship in a better footing. Because you're not surprised. Oh, we're fighting now.
Yes.
You're like, this is normal. This is par for the course. Yeah. This is what happens in a relationship. We fight sometimes and sometimes we don't. So what you're trying to do there is minimize the effects of the fight.
Okay.
I noticed that in my relationships before, what would happen is we're fighting now. I'm surprised by this fight because I expected us to be extremely happy right now.
Yeah.
So because my expectations have been disappointed, well, let's go at it then.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
let's burn the whole house down.
Yes.
Put just because you got angry that I didn't wash the dishes. Well, let's just burn the house down.
Yes,
the first thing.
Okay, okay.
Then from there, you can have one negative experience.
Okay.
So, okay, fine. I didn't wash the dishes. I'm really sorry. You got upset. You shouted at me a little bit. Okay. You know what? That's life.
Yes.
If I don't wash the dishes and I said I would, someone's going to get upset, right?
Yes.
Especially if it's the fifth time. But can I give another 5 positive interactions to make sure that I fill the bank account of love with positive stuff once again?
Yeah.
Right? And that's what I'm trying to say to you right now, wherever you are out there, that when you go through something tough, just do 5 really good things after.
But can I say something? I feel okay, so I think that's great advice. But I also think that a lot of times we need to plan for our relationships like we would plan for our lives.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes we end up in relationships not knowing how the hell we ended up in there. You're like, it wasn't a conscious decision on your part to say that I'm choosing this human being to journey on the next, whether it's a year, whether it's 6 months, whether it's 2 weeks. You know, you don't choose the human being that you're with, and then you wake up one day and you're miserable and unhappy. So I think you need to be very deliberate about the kind of person or partner you are choosing.
Oh, definitely.
By becoming the kind of partner you would want to attract.
I always think that like attracts like, right?
Yes.
And yeah, sometimes you can be very fortunate and just like meet somebody who's just in
who's
such
just
a
so different
space
from you
and just so amazing right now, and they let you into their life, and they might help you get
and
to where
elevate,
you need to go.
Yes.
You know. But you might be the one to drag everybody down at the same time.
Exactly. So you might be the sinking ship.
Yeah.
You might be that last cannon.
So what I've realized is if you're lucky enough to find someone like that, then you gotta make sure that you work so hard that you can match them. Here's where, in relationships, modern world relationships, worldly relationships, we get it wrong.
Yes.
We assume that before I do something, you gotta do for me. So to go back to the bank account analogy, the bank is not gonna give you a black card, right? From starting out at that blue savings card. If you haven't put in money first, so you gotta give to get.
Yes.
So before the bank even considers you for any of their wonderful specials, they think that you're an amazing customer. You gotta put some cash in there. You gotta make sure that your bank account is fat.
Yes.
So just like that, if you use that same analogy with your relationship, before you expect to get anything, how much have you put in?
Yes.
Right? Once you put in something substantial, you keep putting in and remembering that actually I don't expect, just like with a bank account, I'm putting all this money in, but I'm not thinking to myself, my bank better do something for me right away. Because sometimes you're like, okay,
it's an investment.
It's an investment. Either your bank will do nothing, in which case you can find another bank and you should find another bank, or at some point you can approach them and say, hey guys, I've done A, B, C, and D with my account.
Yeah.
So how about I get, you know, maybe less bank charges, I get a better a type of account, those sort of things.
Yeah.
Same thing in a relationship. You give first. You put in the work. And then you can ask for some of your expectations to start being met. Not the other way around.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times, we first start with, gimme.
Yes. But also, don't get fooled into thinking that by just giving, that, you know, that person is going to stay or they're going to love you more, whatever.
Their value is also going to change.
Exactly. So it needs to also be a mutual transaction where you feel like this person replenishes me. And I replenish them. So we are both growing together, you know?
Yeah.
And guys, stop being so stuck on the superficial. Stop
Please.
Dating someone just because they look good. Because it looks trust me, the most beautiful person becomes real ugly once you get to know their heart, if their heart is not right.
Thank you for that, Candice.
You know?
I had that problem for a while.
I wasn't firing shots.
No, not really.
Pow, pow.
You know, pow, pow. No, but seriously, I went through that.
Yeah.
Where I was like, damn it, I'm shallow, so it's fine. I'm cool with that. If you're beautiful, you have a chance.
Yeah.
We'll figure out the rest later.
Yeah.
So that's like the bank's marketing material, right?
That's
just because a bank has a great looking you know, bank where you go to, and their marketing material looks nice. They got the right colors.
Everything.
That you like. Everything, right? Yeah. The brochure looks really
exactly.
good.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean it's the bank for you. Shop around.
Exactly. So value your heart like you would your money.
Exactly. And yeah. that's the thing, right? And that was one of the first things that came up when I was reading about guarding your heart.
Yes.
This guy made an analogy.
Yes.
He says every Thursday night, he takes out the trash and he leaves it at the corner for the guys to come and collect it in the morning on Friday.
Yeah.
And he can leave it there all night because basically the trash ain't going nowhere because it's got no value. There's no one who's going to steal the trash.
That is true.
Now, that would you do the same with your heart? Would you just leave it on a street corner?
Or just like you picture your heart being a Bentley. Would you leave a Bentley with running keys just like lingering
just
outside?
With some petrol money.
Right? And put it on top and your Gucci bag. Like,
you know what I'm
like just come take
no,
it.
You would, no, you would guard. You would look after it because once you fail to guard your heart, it affects your ability to be a good leader.
Yeah, I so
it
agree.
It is that simple.
And you know,
life.
Like your personal relationships, your how you run your household and how you run your behind the scenes life that's what I like to call it, your behind the scenes. So if you protect your behind the scenes, you are always cleaning up, you are always making sure that everything's running correctly, the rest of your life will run correctly.
Exactly.
But if you allow contamination and toxic people and toxic things into your behind the scenes, it will start reflecting in your outer world.
You know,
it will start affecting how you do your job.
Oh, yeah.
It will start affecting the kind of friends you hang around with. It will start affecting just every aspect of your life. And because it's you become like the person you date. That's why you have to choose so carefully. If you are dating a terrible person, you are going to start becoming terrible because you mimic and you mirror the person.
That's true.
And if you don't choose correctly and carefully, you start mirroring really bad behavior.
There you go.
And before you know it, you bump into someone who hasn't seen you in a while and they're like, damn girl, you've changed.
Yeah.
And not for the good.
you become a whole different
awful person.
Okay, so now that we've figured out how to choose the right person, choose the right person because you are the right person to begin with, right?
Yes.
Don't be looking for the right person, be the right person.
Yes.
And I promise you, the right person will walk into your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, finally, once you have the right person, we said, give, and something will be given back to you and given to you. And if that doesn't happen, then you know there's a problem.
Yes.
Shut it off right there. Right, I've had people ask me for money for tattoos, new hair, handbags, and all sorts of things. And I stuck around because they look good at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna lie about that. But I had to learn that actually, at the end of the day, it's not about how much money I can just give to somebody, and do they always ask me for stuff?
Yes.
It's what are we doing for each other, like you said, outside of the material.
Yes.
And then after that, make sure that you spend quality time. This is mostly for the guys because I know guys, you just think that the occasional WhatsApp.
Yes.
And the once a week phone call will suffice. No, it won't.
No, it won't.
You have to put time in. Like, you have to put time to looking through your bank statement, to spending time, making sure that, you know, what are the bank charges are like, the debit order is going off at the right time. You have to spend
people
time.
People aren't taking money where, you know, they shouldn't be taking money.
You have to spend time finding out how your partner is.
Yes.
Are they okay? How's work?
Yes.
How's their family?
Yes.
How's their social life? What's going on with them? And being there for them in a very real way. You got to be present.
Yes, yes. And I just think that last point resonates so much with almost every woman out there. Because, you know, a lot of times I think men, when they're working, when they're busy, when they're doing certain things in their lives, they think that material substitutes presence.
That's
and
true.
A lot of the time I found that when guys have thrown material at me, it actually repels me. It makes me not want to invest in the relationship. If anything, we break up a lot sooner because it's like, you know, you're not in this for the right reasons. You are not in it at all, really. So, you know, I'd rather be with someone who's not going to give me all the material in the world, but who's going to give me their time, who's going to give me their, you know, their attention. Because sometimes just because you're physically there doesn't mean you're emotionally there.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it's a balance.
That's a mistake that us guys make sometimes. We assume that just because I'm here and I'm in the house, we're watching TV together, right?
Yes.
So what's your problem? You know, we don't actually have to be there. We don't have to ask about your day. We don't have to engage in anything because, heck, we're there, and that's all it takes. But you have to also just start by just being there. Just start by being there.
Yeah.
And being
friends. Okay, but if you don't want to actually be with a person, then you're the wrong damn person.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so
that's true.
Let's start there. If you don't want to listen to what she's got to say, you're the wrong person.
That's right. So, Thank God we spoke about that to lay the foundation of what we're going to speak about today. We've got a special guest who's just come into the studio, and I'm very excited, and I'm excited for you guys, because she's the author of Go! I'm Not Tripping, I'm Depressed. It can happen to anybody, by the way. And life begins at the end of your comfort zone. I just love this site because, you know, if you're just needing a little bit of inspiration today, you know, you need to hear some of this stuff. Like, because my purpose is bigger than my problems. And sometimes when you have problems, you just got to remember that.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you're out there,
And you're in a motivation. Place. Some feel goodness, yeah. Man.
And you're just like, I just feel like I'm down. Well, this is, you came to the right place. In studio, I'd like to welcome Mrs. Shanita Foster. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to be back in my second home.
Yeah. Welcome back.
By the way, what is your first home? Just for the listeners who don't know.
So my first home, you can tell by the accent, is America. So South Africa is my second home.
Yeah. Listen, just when you started, the accent wasn't that heavy. I thought maybe it could have been like...
No.
You've been here long enough now. Which part of America are you from?
Well, actually, I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan, but I live in Atlanta, Georgia.
All right, okay. Chocolate City.
I know, right? Yeah, what you know about Chocolate City?
All right, look, the thing is, you've done some exceptional stuff in your life. But first of all, I think one of the biggest, I mean, I'm looking at you right now, mother of six children, and you look
and
so amazing.
And she looks like this.
Wow. I am.
What's
I'm a mother of six. My youngest is actually eight. They keep me on my toes.
The youngest is eight. How old is your oldest?
The youngest is eight. My oldest, now here's where the trick comes in. My oldest is 26. My first two are adopted.
My son is
adopted from Swaziland, and my daughter's adopted from America. But the other ones are 8, 9, 10, 11. So,
Okay, so what's your workout routine? Do you like?
I don't work out ever. I'm going to work out, though. I said when I got here.
You know, I like the sound of that. So, what's your secret then? What pill are you taking? Because I want some of that.
I got some products for you. I detox. I use a detox from Total Life Changes. It's like a all natural detox or whatever. Yeah. So, I detox my body all the time. I think here in South Africa, you guys have amazing fresh food.
Yeah.
So, I try to stick to the fresh food. You know, in America, everything's processed real fast food.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really it. I think the key to it mostly is I do what makes me happy. Mm-hmm. And I notice when that's you do what makes you happy, it makes you look good.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Like, I lost a couple years doing what makes me happy.
And what's making you happy right now?
What's making me happy right now?
What are you doing that's making you happy?
Walking in my purpose, continuing my philanthropy work in Swaziland. I feed 1,000 children every single day, 365 days a year. Actually, doing more television work. Shout out to my friends, Karu and Sans.
Mm-hmm.
Getting ready to be a part of a big South African movie. So, tapping more.
Can you tell us about that, or is it still
I can tell you about it. I can't remember the girl's name. By the time, if we take a break and come back, I'm going to tell you her name. But there's a really big South African actress who's actually in the movie.
Kanye Bao.
It's Kanye Bao. That's the name.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited because I'm like a friend in the movie. And so, you know. Yeah, but I got one line. You know, when they start you off, you get one line in the movie.
Yeah,
so I'm going to make it the best one line of my life.
So are you a friend from Atlanta, or are you a friend from like...
Well, I'm a friend in the movie, actually a friend of the husband. I don't want to give away the whole movie. I don't know how much they did in the interview, this movie is really going to push her from the other characters that I watched her in.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the movies she's been in, kind of feel good, girl movies, things like this. And this movie has kind of a heavy undertone.
Okay.
It's a little funny throughout it, but it has a deep story to tell. So I think this is going to push her as an actress. I think me trying to hold a South African accent for one line is going to be enough comedy in itself. You know, I've been practicing that.
Right.
But doing that makes me happy. And then I've been in and out of the country working with a company called Total Life Changes. My goal this year is to help 1,000 women make their dreams come true.
Wow.
Okay.
And so...
tell us about that.
Yeah.
Because is that a reality show, or is that a business that you're
doing? Well, that is actually a business. It needs to be a reality show. All the drama I get. But it's actually a business. And I was one of those people, I didn't believe in home-based business. I didn't believe in network marketing. I thought it was stupid. It was dumb. And I ended up making 8.7 million rand. And I was like, wait a minute. This kind of works a little bit.
What?
Right. Listen, in less than a year. And so I use that vehicle. People think it's about the business, but it's not. It's about the vehicle for me to help women. I think women in South Africa, they don't need a handout. They need a hand up.
That's right.
And so I'm one of those people that I just want to give them a hand up from the things that I've learned, that I've experienced, to tell them that people go through all types of things, being molested, being depressed, you know, having a divorce, all these things that tend to weigh them down when they just think life is over. And for me, this year, turning 40 years old, life is just beginning. And so I want to be able to help them, you know, make some dreams come true. And I've already made some come true, so I'm excited.
Okay, well, I want to know, what is the business about in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, the business is about all-natural health and wellness products. And the favorite one they have here in South Africa is our sexual enhancement performance product.
It's a hairspray?
No, a sexual enhancement and performance product. Keep up, sir.
I heard a hairspray. I thought maybe you sprayed in your hair, and then the man comes along. Your husband smells it in your hair, and then suddenly he's going crazy. Like, he's like, what kind of weed
you
is
should,
this?
You should invent that shit.
All right. That would be good. Somebody smell your hair and like, baby, I want you. No, but we have all natural products. The price point is amazing. It's kind of like with my friend, shout out to DJ Spoo, what he's doing, where he's just creating an opportunity where people buy items real low, and then they're able to sell them high. Okay. As most people don't know, the sellers in the world are rich, the buyers are poor. Majority of us don't have anything to sell. So I'm just giving them a product, something they can believe in,
so
something
apart from that
works.
Also, you spoke about detox products as well.
We have a detox tea. You lose 2.5 kgs in a week. So there's the secret.
I might need to have some of that
tea. There's the secret. Okay. I can help you with your little belly. So y'all talking about how I get fine and sexy. The secret is out.
I need the tea.
You don't need the tea.
No, I want the tea. Why must you be the only one looking fly and stupid?
No, you look flowery. No, you don't need the tea. Like, I don't want you to disappear now.
Right, it's always the ones that look good that say, I need to lose a couple kgs, girl. Stop
patronizing it.
And then last but not least, the TV show. Hopefully, From the Bottom Up comes back for a third season. I'm ready to cut some people out. I was being real nice. I was trying to be politically correct throughout the season. I mean, I got upset a couple times, but I got some stuff I need to say, okay?
Tell us about this show, From the Bottom Up, for those
who've
never
seen. Filmed.
Okay, so I got tricked, okay? The show is I got tricked, okay? Because I did reality TV probably about 10 years ago when I did Football Wives. Yeah. Exactly. Football's Wives. I was a part of Housewives of Atlanta. I'm friends with Candy Burrs and NeNe Leakes. So you see me in and out of Housewives. NeNe's going to be coming to South Africa soon.
I love her. So you need a hookup. I'm going to hook you up.
I got you. She'll be right here. But the show is about people who hit their rock bottom and then coming back up. Well, the first season, everybody went to jail. So I didn't fit in. I was like, I'm not going to be on this show. I've never been to jail before. This doesn't fit me. But then the next season, they came back and they said, we want to talk about Black mental health. Because Maia is on there. She's clinically bipolar. I suffered from a depression. So I was like, nah, I'm cool. Then enters Queen Latifah, who's one of our executive producers of the show.
Okay.
So Queen Latifah comes in. Nikki Gilbert from Brownstone. She's my Detroit sister. I said, let's give it a go. Oh, my gosh. Listen, reality TV is reality TV at the end of the day. No, it's not scripted. You cannot control five other women, what their moods are, what they're going to say, what they're going to do. And so it was a roller coaster of emotions because, you know, I crossed over from the ghetto crazy loud girl. I thought I graduated from that. You know, like, I'm a new woman.
They dragged you right back there, didn't they?
Listen, I thought I graduated from wanting to smack people every day. Let me tell you, I'm still a work in progress. I don't know if you've seen the episode. I almost flipped over the whole table. I'm like, be a fixture because it's, and help me, please.
Jesus be the center of my soul.
Help me and my soul. Jesus.
So when you're filming, how long does it take and where do you film?
So we film every single day. The schedule is rigid. I don't know how it works in South Africa and America. People tend to think that we script it, but we really don't. When you film every single day for 3, 4, 5, some the Kardashians film up to 6 months, you get a mic put on you at about 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, and you wear that mic all day. So no matter what happens, it happens. And so oftentimes you forget it's there. I mean, by the 3 days later, you forget I'm mic'd up. There's times I was like, oh my gosh, I said that. I'm mic'd up, right?
In your head, you're like,
right. And then the other problem is, if I have a problem with you, I don't have to talk to you. Like, me and you can work out our problem. I might call you a week later, 2 weeks later, a month. Yeah. If you filming TV and you mad with somebody, their one goal in life is to put y'all two in a room together and work that problem out, okay? When you get in the room and you got to work it out, what's the individual you're working with? Yeah. Because as you can see on the show, there's so many different personalities. And so I kept being shoved in a room with people I really didn't like. And they broke. They wanted me to be broke this whole TV show. I'm like, I'm broken. I'm not broke. Why are people saying I'm broke? Like, I got money. Like, no, listen, don't block my blessings. I do not want to speak that upon my life. I
don't need that kind of negativity. Yes.
So you guys were not friends before? Or
okay, so we were associates. Stacey J. Johnson, shout out to her. I did a lot of work with Stacey before. Kim Smelly's friends with another friend, so I met Kim. She's the one that did the illegal butt shots. Christine Beatty is where I'm from, my hometown. So we've
Michigan.
Detroit, baby.
Yeah,
Detroit.
It
goes down in Detroit. So Christine Beatty is from there. The only person I really, who I had the most problems with was Cristal, who was Ronnie on the Players Club.
You and Cristal didn't know each other at all until this, or just kind of knew each other?
No, like, you know how you go to a celebrity event and somebody might be there or whatever? Like, I've seen her in passing, but we've never picked up the phone or called each other. And I think she was she's just aggravated about the place she is in life. See, people, you guys don't understand. People like me make people like her mad. Yeah. This girl is a real life actress. She went to school for it. She studied for it. She did movies. Here I am, a girl who got a reality TV show. And now everybody offering me a movie. And it's like, how? Like, this girl. So real life movie people in America don't really like real life reality show people because they think we take their jobs and we take them for cheaper, so they get mad. You get it a little bit?
That kind of the same,
And then she has anger management issues. I didn't know that until she tried to kill me.
For real?
Like, in real life.
Okay. They could have used that as evidence, though.
Listen, sir, I thought I was going to die. Like, I swear, I was locked in a bathroom, like, I'm going to die today. This girl is
like,
crazy.
But you look like you could handle yourself. Like, what,
listen,
did she have a knife, a gun?
No, listen, I can handle myself. You know, I just think, six kids, do you want to go to jail? Do you want to go to jail?
Oh, I see.
Do you want to go to jail?
That is a motivator.
Do you want to go to jail? Right. Yeah. See? Because then I would have beat the girl up. Yeah. Oh, I went to jail. Then I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you.
Right? See? We would have missed out on all of those. Hell no.
But check this out, right? You were on the first show, Football Wives.
Mm-hmm.
Your husband is a former football player.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that kind of life time, right? Mm-hmm. That lifestyle and how it affected where you went in life, getting to a point where you got depressed and writing a book about it. Let's just start from the beginning.
I think
it sounds to me, I'm like, you got that jackpot.
But everybody thinks that. I think people think that you marry an athlete and life is great. You have all this
money. You don't
do
anything after
that. My biggest thing with that part is I was very successful before I even married him. Let's be clear. I earned six figures before I married this man, okay?
And that's important
to know. That's very important to know because I did not marry him for money, okay?
Exactly.
But throughout that transition, throughout that process, I was a part of a club or a clique. I don't know how to explain it. It was very unique, but what people don't understand is I made friends along the way that were in the delivery room when my children were born, would be at my house for Christmas and Thanksgiving, and you get traded to the next team and these people like hate you.
Why?
And it's like me and you are best friends. We spend every day together for 365 days and one phone call, one trade, now you don't want to talk to me anymore. And so I'm kind of confused, like, but I thought you were my friend.
Please.
So I had to process that because I'm a good person. I think everybody is my friend.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have that. Then you have this other piece of life where everyone feels like you're supposed to take care of the entire world. You got the mamas, the cousins, the uncles, the everybody. You're supposed to pay everybody's bills and save everybody's life.
Someone's always dying. There's always a wedding.
Oh,
there's always a birthday.
So you have
someone
to pay.
Starting school.
You have to pay for everybody's life. Okay.
Yeah.
And so millions and millions of dollars went away to that. Okay.
Wow.
And then you have to talk about the relationship part. I think people don't understand. I wasn't in a relationship, and I think that was the biggest challenge. I wasn't in a relationship with a person because that person gives their life to a sport.
Mm.
So I was married, but I wasn't married. So I basically was married, but I was a single parent. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So literally, I pushed out a baby. And he was like, okay, you had a baby. I'll see you later. I got to go practice. And left.
Yeah.
So I was like laying in the hospital. Like, I had a baby by myself. Is this life? And so when I went into depression, I went into depression because I lost my entire identity and everything I had to football.
Mm-hmm.
I was no longer Shanita Foster. I was his his wife. Mm-hmm. I was no longer Shanita Foster. I was their mom. Yeah. I didn't have any friends because it was like, okay, you keep leaving. And when he retired, it was like, it was bad. It was like trying to go to Taboo in a line in the parking lot and they want to put you at the end and they're like, who are you? Like, you're nobody at this point. And so you go through this transition of being able to go to music awards and to, you know, walk into places and everyone knows you to now.
That's a reality that a lot of us don't understand. That it actually, that's real. That happens, right?
Oh my gosh, listen.
Yeah, the mic, I mean, the earphones even follow.
Even the earphones are like, nah, I'm out. I mean,
help me. No, and so if you ever watch that movie Concussion, he's going through a process, and that's not my story to tell. And so I had to be able to tell my story without telling his story, because now he's a very broken person. He's not the same person I met 11 years ago. You know what I mean? He's the same person that got hit in the head in a 70-mile car crash every single day, because that's what it's like, getting hit in the head in football. So the person he is, the person he is now, is completely different. And so it does. I mean, people think money, like, fixes everything, but I'm like Biggie Smalls, more money, more problems.
I don't know why.
Right. And they think, I mean, money is awesome. You could do a lot of things, but ultimately I had to find, in writing that book, again, the happiness. And now I do 100% what makes me happy. If it doesn't make me happy, then I don't do it and I don't care.
Is that something that you found when you were going through what you're going through? And part of your book is, I think as a successful mother, a businesswoman, and a wife, we expect that your life is happening. It's amazing. Yes. So the depression is actually, you guys don't know what's going on, and so therefore
behind
you can't even relate, right?
Yeah.
Is that what happens? I mean, not only to women, but specifically, let's talk about women for a while. That you've been doing life, you've been doing your best work, you've been doing what you can, and you're going through something that people cannot understand. And the insidiousness of depression is also that sometimes you don't even know why you are so sad. So it's hard to even explain. How did you get out of that?
That was the biggest thing.
How did you claw your way out of that pit?
That's why the book is called Girl, I'm Not Tripping, I'm Depressed. Because my friend, she's like, she tripping? She crazy? And that's what happens to, like, all of us. Like you said, you can't explain it. And so when you can't explain it, your friends are like, why are you crying? Why are you acting crazy?
You've got everything.
Why are you acting out? And then you can't be depressed and rich, because like I told you, my friends were coming over. I sat in a closet for 6 months, and I have this really big closet. And my friends would come over, and I would just be sitting there crying. And they would be going through my closet, borrowing my shoes and my purses. And when I came out the depression, I said, you didn't notice I was crying. They was like, girl, we was looking at Gucci and Louis and Chanel. We like, what's she crying for?
We couldn't see the tears pulse all the sparkle.
We could feel what you crying about. How I clawed myself out, again, is, number one, I had to figure out what my why was. What is my why? What can I find to get myself up every single day? There's a chapter in the book where I talked about I was literally laying on the floor. I had a gun laying next to me, and I was like, okay, I can end it all. Wow. And I was at that place, and I heard one of my kids coming through my house. I live in a fairly big house, not bragging, but they were a long way away. And the things that you start processing, which I did, was I was like, man, if I shoot myself right now, who's gonna clean this up? I was thinking about stupid stuff.
Who's gonna even find
me? I was like, damn, is one of my kids gonna come in and like get me?
And now I've screwed them up for life.
What if I didn't shoot myself in the right place and I'm just laying here?
Right, like I'm that person. You know how people don't really think
it
through?
And I'm like, I changed my mind.
Right,
there's nothing you can do.
So I start thinking that through. So the first thing that came to mind was my why. What is my why? And my why began to be, okay, my children. I have these children, not just these children, 1,000 children in Swaziland. And then once I got up off the floor, because I had to get up, my next thing was, Shanita, why are you not happy? And I began to see people, things, places that didn't make me happy.
Okay.
And so many of us stay in things that don't make us happy. Like, I'm the person now, my mama make me mad, I'm not answering the phone. I'm telling you. People think it's my mom's calling, I have to answer. But if your mama don't make you happy, and every time you get off the phone with your mom, you're mad,
sad,
you're miserable, you're sad, you're up, why answer the phone?
Wow.
I would send a text, hey mom, sorry, I'm busy. Or people, this is my new thing, if you get hung up by me, I always say it's the network. To somebody.
You're like a drop call.
Every time my daughter laughed so hard. We were driving from a cheerleading competition. She's sitting behind me in the car, and someone was talking to me, and she can hear them yelling at me. And all of a sudden, I just hung up the phone. She was cracking up. I said, "What are you laughing at, Jordan?" She's like, "Cause you hung up on them."
So
I mean, that's
but
the
that's
easy
so
answer.
Important. I think it ties into the message of the show as well, in terms of if people aren't making you happy, leave. you know, if they're not for you and they don't like fulfill your spirit, mm-hmm. then stop entertaining them.
And social media is a devil.
Ooh. Oh, so the devil.
Everybody watching social Ooh. Media thinking this is real life. I'm like, these people are posting a life. You post what I want you to see.
The highlight reel, right?
Right.
People get hung up on the highlight reel because, I mean, you're not going to post yourself getting out of bed.
Right.
But they don't see the behind the scenes that you took, because a lot of the best pictures on Instagram took some time. You're like, friend, okay.
It was
okay,
like
okay.
6 seconds. Yes.
Man, listen, shout out to Kathy Boo. I want to be like her when I grow up, because every picture she got on Instagram, I'm like, oh my God, did you get a professional photographer? The
light she does.
Perfect. I'm like, for a picture for Instagram.
Candace knows for sure.
She does
have a professional.
Listen, but you get what I'm saying? And now someone's looking, like, I'm cool with her. This is not a diss, but I'm saying someone's scrolling through, they're looking at her life.
Perfection.
And they're like, oh my gosh, her life is like so perfect. And they don't understand that just in between that 5 seconds of taking a picture, she's probably like me.
You're getting mad. Yeah, you're like, could you just take the proper picture? Why aren't you taking a proper picture?
Well, like life is actually just happening. And that's what I wanted to find out as well. Like the transition from the time that you realize that you got something to live for, you got a purpose, you got to start getting up. There's a process from the time that you start realizing that you got to do something
till
the time that I suppose you get a bit of balance. And I suppose sometimes, let's be honest, depression is also a chemical balance in the brain. What were some of the things that you did that just kept you going through that process that got you to where you are right now?
So the process, my why, my happy, definitely counseling. People think they're against counseling or whatever. I had spiritual counseling, and then I had professional counseling.
Yeah.
I think both is definitely a balance, because what you, which I tell my friends all the time, if you think you can or you think you can't, both answers are correct.
Yes.
And so I needed the spiritual side of it, but I definitely needed the doctor side. Of course, America, everything is about drugs.
Yeah.
I fooled around with a couple prescriptions I won't name that they try to use for depression, and I almost felt like it was making me worse. And so, thank God again for Total Life Changes, we had an all natural solution. So we have a product called NRG that triggers the happy signal in the brain all naturally.
Wow.
And so I would start taking a natural product that now triggers the happy signals in my brain.
Endorphins, right?
Yeah. And so now I'm like, oh, I'm happy. So that definitely was a process. But I think the biggest thing, and I was telling my friend, shout out from Shamir, she's here from America.
Hey, Shamir. Hi, Shamir.
And South Africa for the first time. I was telling my friend, owning your truth. A lot of people don't tell their story. They're embarrassed about their story. And even in South Africa, these cultures, these tribes, there's so many tribes where you were born and raised to like keep your stuff
to yourself. Under the carpet.
Yeah. And so to carry that much around, that's really hard. So I tell people all the time, when you start telling your stuff, people be like, me too.
Exactly.
Me too. It happened to you too.
But don't you think that's the amazing power of actually healing? When you talk to somebody who might need what you, like your particular, I suppose, story that you went through, they can say me too and realize it, but you just got through it.
Yes.
And I'm not going through something that I'm alone in this. We all sometimes go through this stuff.
The power
For
of
me,
story.
I found that being depressed was you think you're the only one who's ever gone through this.
Right.
But when you realize, hang on, there's a Shanita out there who's gone through something similar and she's gotten past it. I can listen to her, and while she's helping me heal, I'm actually helping her heal. It's a whole cycle. It's like the bank account. You're putting something in, I'm putting something in.
You put something in, you put something in. Yeah. So it is definitely the happy things. Amod makes me happy. He does a good job. He works on it. If he didn't make me happy, I would get rid of him too. No, I'm joking.
So where are the kids right now? Are they with you?
They're not. They're in America.
Are they studying or
Well,
what?
My kids are homeschooled, so I'm pretty sure no one's doing anything right now. I keep getting text alerts because, you know, this is a new age homeschool, so they have to log on to the computer.
Yes.
So they're homeschooled. But the reason they haven't come is because my children are national champion cheerleaders.
For
People don't think cheerleading is a sport. It's a very expensive sport.
In America, it's a big sport.
Oh, my gosh. My kids are actually going to be on ESPN. If you watch ESPN, if you ever seen that movie, like Bring It On or whatever, my kids are going to Disney to perform at ESPN, and it's over 1,000 teams for 22 countries to compete against each other. So I spent a lot of money on cheerleading. So they can't come until after cheerleading's over.
Okay. And in terms of teaching them about Africa, where they're originally from.
Motherland.
And that sort of thing. What are their feelings? What are the young American kids, how are they feeling about Africa at the moment?
Well, my children definitely want to move here. My children get it 100%. Now, it depends on what we're talking about when we talk. We got two kind of Americans, okay? We have the millennial Americans, our younger Americans, who get to experience Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, that think, you know, the continent of Africa is cool. They're still in the culture. They're still in the clothes. Everybody walking around in dashiki. I'm like, are we in Africa? I'm like, this clown over here is like, I got all the head wraps in it. I'm like, girl, don't nobody walk around like that every day in South Africa. Right. She,
I love
she ready to take off her shirt and her bra and be naked with beads on.
All right.
That is not the real. So the millennials, the culture, the music, shout out to my Bella Noise. Like, they get, you know, the Ricky Ricks and the Black Coffees. And so the millennials get that. Then the older Americans are still scared that the monkey is going to run and chase them, that it's lying on the corner, and that if you drink the water, you're going to die.
Yes.
So it's a great contrast because the millennials, they want to get here. They want to party in South Africa. They want to come to Africa to experience that.
Yes.
Not older generation, just like her mom and my mom, they're like, I'm never going to South Africa.
I'm not
in my
about
life.
To get bitten by a lion.
And I have to get 1,000 shots. I'm like, I never even had a shot to go to South Africa. What are y'all talking about, right? Then they're like, do you have enough bottled water? I'm like, no, like I recently got sick. I was in the hospital for 8 days and I swear these people wanted to find something in me that
they're
I
like,
was sick
be
because I went
African.
To South Africa. Right. Oh, she has malaria. I was like, I was in South Africa. Oh, she has a Zika. I'm like, I didn't get bit by a mosquito. I'm like, are y'all crazy?
We don't have Zika virus.
Listen, they ran every test that they could on me in the hospital because it was like they were like searching for something. Like,
we're gonna find the South African virus.
I'm like, you know, I'm here for a migraine, right, people? I'm just here because I don't feel good and I got a headache. So yeah.
By the way, if we want to get a copy of your book, where do we get that?
So you can get a copy of my book, ShanitaFoster.com. You click the author tab, and then you can order it from there. Now here's the catch 22. People have been yelling at me about this book. So the book was supposed to be out like a month ago. Look at her, she's so mad because she wants the book. She was there when I was writing the book.
Yeah.
The problem was, right when the book was supposed to be released, I had an epiphany about the last two chapters.
Okay.
Right. I felt like the last two chapters, just like the questions that you guys start asking me, because I started doing interviews all over the world, and people started asking me the part of how I got through.
Yes.
And I realized, like, I didn't talk about the part that I got through. The whole book is, and it's funny too, about me going through the depression. Like, this person did this, social media did this, you know, being married to this clown did this. Look, it had all of that, but there was no solution. So April 1st, books are being out to deliver. She is my friend and she's upset, but pre-order. Yeah. The best thing is always to pre-order. These things sell out so quickly. I'll do a lot of book signings and stuff in South Africa, but it's going to be a great book.
That's going to be amazing.
A quick one, though, as well, because we're literally out of time right now.
Okay.
I've noticed that when you go on the site, and by the way, just to spell Shanita, it's C-H, not S-H.
No, South Africa.
It's not Shanita.
Yes.
She said, you know, it's not Shanita either. If you're thinking like it's a D, it's a T. It's just, it's an American thing.
Spell
don't worry
T.
about it. S-O-C-H. I don't mess it up, right? My whole private school education
Damn.
Down the toilet. It's C-H-A-N-I-T-A Foster, FOSTER.com. And what I love about this is you can go in the website and there's a spot where it's like we're talking about Beyond the Game, but also if you want to donate, if you want to feed a child, if you want to sponsor shoes, there's a whole place where you can do all that.
Yes, I need it. You know, people look at me and they're like, Aish, she's rich. She doesn't need money.
Let her pay it for everyone.
Man, let me tell you something. 1,000 kids is a big bill. Not even being funny. When I leave here, I have to go directly to the bank. They're asking me. No, like literally.
Yeah.
They're asking me for food run money. I cashed in my kids 529s, which is actually in America the money that we put aside for our children to go to college. Wow. So if you can imagine, my children don't have college money right now because I took that money and I poured it into Swaziland. I've given Swaziland over $1 million American dollars, okay? So I feel like if I could give $1 million American dollars.
You can give something.
You can. Listen, you can sacrifice a couple rand.
But I just want to encourage them like this. All right, you just made a blessing. So you're going to be blessed right back 30, 60, 100-fold.
Thank you.
Right? That's coming your way. Yeah. You understand the principles of blessing. You know that you reap and you sow. So if you want to be blessed, you got to start
by blessing.
If you want to be like Shanita, what you got to do is pick up your phone right now.
Right now. Hey.
Don't waste any
yes,
time. Pick up your phone.
Yes.
Make sure that you go to the page where we talk about feeding a child.
Yes.
Or you just want to give a little
bit of something.
You just prophesy. Visa. We got MasterCard. We got everything
right.
You need to make sure that you can get your blessing. Don't waste time. Don't tarry. Don't parry. Make sure you do it today.
Awesome. Wow. Okay. So thank you so much for tuning in, guys. Janita, say your last goodbyes.
Hi, my last goodbyes. Okay, I always do major shout-outs. I have to shout-out the main person who introduced me to my South African Life. Shout-out to Trevor Gumby, my amazing
Trevor.
Hey, Trevor. Comedian Griff. Always DJ Spoo. He's always the first person who welcomes me on the radio. My friend Shamir traveled all the way from America.
Shamir. Hey,
Mod, for always holding me down, making me feel amazing. My friends, they will get mad. I'm not going to start this laundry list of people. Listen to the entire dream team of South Africa, okay? Dream team of South Africa and my children, Team Foster. Okay, that's
always.
It.
All right.
Thank you so much, Anita. This was
Thanks
amazing.
All right. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.